Having discovered the New Testament's Christ-centred view of the Old Testament, let's take that key in our hand and turn to the Old Testament prophets. First, we'll consider how to preach Christ from the prophetic ministry or office. Second, we'll explain how to preach Christ from the various names and natures of the men who were prophets. Third, we'll outline the mechanics, the three steps to follow in mining and presenting the truth found in the prophets. And finally, we'll look at how to preach Christ from the message of the prophets. So, we've got four main points as we look at preaching Christ from his prophets: the ministry, the men, the mechanics, and the message. So, first of all, the ministry. The office of the Old Testament prophet was designed, instituted, and developed by God to prepare his people for Jesus Christ, his ultimate and final prophet. Therefore, when we are preaching from the Old Testament prophets, we should look for the aspects or features of their office that predict the prophetic office of Jesus Christ. Here are eight such features to look out for. First, consider the reason for prophets. They were needed to stand between God and sinners and speak God's word in God's place. God installed Moses as his first official prophet to Israel because the Israelites were too terrified to hear God speak directly to them. Exodus 19 and 20. But even Moses knew that he was not God's last word to his people. He predicted an even greater prophet to follow him. Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19. And despite God raising up and sending great prophets throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites realized that the greatest prophet had still not come. That's why, when Jesus burst on the scene, many rightly wondered if this was the ultimate promised prophet of God. John 6:14 and 7 verse 40. So, every Old Testament prophet reminds us of our need of a prophetic mediator and points us to God's provision of Jesus Christ, the prophet. Second, remember who raised up the prophets. It was God who took the initiative and called Moses into the prophetic office. This emphasis on the divine initiative, call and authorization is evident in the lives of many Old Testament prophets. Deuteronomy 18:15, Amos 7, verses 14 and 15. The necessity of the divine call and authorization of Old Testament prophets points us towards Christ's divine call and prophetic authorization, so clearly attested in the New Testament, Matthew 3:17, 17:5, and John 1 verse 18. God not only identified the job that needed to be done, and described the person who would fit the job description, but he raised him up and sent him. God didn't invite applications. God didn't put out a cry for help. He provided the applicant and the help, Acts 3:20 through 22. So, the divine calling and commissioning of every Old Testament prophet points towards the divine calling and commissioning of Jesus Christ, the prophet. Third, the varied representations of the prophets revealed the varied facets of their ministries. Navi is the Hebrew word we translate prophet, probably means a called person. 2 Kings 9, 1 and 2, 2 Chronicles 12, verse 5, and Jeremiah 1, verse 5. As we've said, the prophet was called and designated by God. Prophetes is the Greek or Septuagint translation of Navi. It's composed of pro, meaning beforehand, and phetes, meaning to tell or announce. And it can mean either to tell forth or to foretell. The prophet tells forth about the past and present and foretells the future. Roe is the Hebrew word which we usually translate seer, 1 Samuel 9:9, 2 Samuel 15:27. It refers to a man who is given visions, as opposed to just audible messages, Ezekiel 1:4-28. Eved is usually translated servant, 2 Kings 21:10, Jeremiah 25:4. The prophet was the servant of Yahweh. He was an official in God's royal court who was commissioned by God to represent him on earth. Malak means messenger, Isaiah 42:19, Malachi 3:1. Prophets did not bring their own messages, but received messages from God and delivered them with urgency to the people, Haggai 1:13. They did not bring their own messages, but spoke on behalf of God as God's envoy. A shomer was a watchman or guard, Isaiah 21:11. Prophets, like watchmen, gave advance warning of hostile approaches or friendly visits so that important preparation could be made, Hosea 9:8, Ezekiel 3:17. Ish Elohim was a man of God, Deuteronomy 33:1, 1 Samuel 9:6. He was a pious and godly man whom God selected, sent forth, and gave special protection to. So these are the varied representations we find of the prophets in the Old Testament. And when preaching from the prophets, we can demonstrate how Christ fitted the descriptions of the prophets given by Scripture. He was called by God, the Navi. He told forth God's word about the past, present and future, the prophetes. He saw into heaven's secrets as the Roe. He was God's servant, the Eved, messenger, the Malak, and watchman, the Shomer. He was the man of God, the Ish Elohim. Every designation then or description of a prophet points us towards Jesus Christ, the one prophet who fitted these designations perfectly. Fourth, the prophet received divine revelations. The prophet's message was not the result of his own reasonings, insight or observations, but was the result of divine revelation. God made himself known to the prophet, and the prophet spoke what God gave him. First, he heard God's words. God said, "I will put my words in his mouth," Deuteronomy 18:18. Second, he spoke God's words. "He shall speak to them all that I shall command him," verse 18. So he had a strict concern to communicate the exact words spoken to him. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The carefulness and faithfulness with which the prophets heard and spoke the exact words of God, no more and no less, points us towards the supreme carefulness and faithfulness with which Jesus Christ, the prophet, heard and spoke what God revealed to him. John 12:49, John 14:10. Fifth, the prophet had a covenantal role. We've already seen how the prophetic office arose out of the need for a mediator between God and man. However, the prophet's role was more than that of a simple mediator. He was a covenant mediator. He mediated God's covenant to the people. Powerful ancient Near Eastern kings, sometimes called suzerains, often made covenants with smaller vassal states, in which they would promise the vassal certain benefits if he proved loyal and threatened punishment if he did not. The suzerain would then send emissaries to promise blessings for obedience and to prosecute violations. The use of similar emissarial language in the prophetic oracles deepens our understanding of the prophet's role. Amos 3:3, 4:4-5, 5:21-22. Jehovah was the great king or suzerain who sent prophets as his mediators and emissaries to ensure covenant faithfulness in Israel, to prosecute covenant violations, and to ensure the safety and prosperity of the faithful. The Old Testament predicted a messenger of the covenant, which all the other prophets were but shadows of, Malachi 3:1. When Christ announced blessings on those loyal to him, Matthew 5:1-12, prosecuted violations, Matthew 5:17-48, and threatened woes upon the unfaithful, Matthew 7:21-29, he was fulfilling that prophecy. So when the prophets mediate God's covenant, they point forward to Jesus Christ, the ultimate messenger of the covenant. Sixth, think of how the prophets all faced reversals in their ministries. From the first false prophets, "Has God said?" in the Garden of Eden, God's prophets have been contradicted in the ongoing spiritual battle with the father of lies and his mouthpieces. Christ came as the ultimate voice of divine truth. As such, he faced unprecedented opposition from the father of lies and his seed, the false prophets of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He came with his, "Verily, verily, I am," while Satan came with his, "If thou be the Son of God." So, every false prophet and false message prefigured the climactic opposition to Jesus Christ, the true prophet, with the true message. Seventh, the prophet's words were not only reversed, they were also rejected. As a frail human prophet was much easier to reject than Almighty God, all prophets experienced rejection of themselves and their messages. Having seen the way Moses was treated, it's no wonder that the prophets expected and feared this, Isaiah 6:9-10. By reading his Old Testament, Jesus was prepared for the widespread rejection of his own prophetic ministry and message. From the lives of Old Testament prophets who prefigured him, he knew that ahead lay misrepresentation, false accusation, mockery, threats, intimidation, torture, and eventually, even death. The rejection of God's messengers then, and their messages, prefigured the rejection of God's greatest messenger and message, Jesus Christ. 8. Let me underline that the prophetic office was ultimately realized in Christ. As with all Old Testament institutions and offices, there was a divinely inbuilt inadequacy in the office of the Old Testament prophet. While the prophet brought the people closer to God, he still separated them from God. While the prophets communicated God's word, as they were only indirect conduits of God's word, they could only report what they were told. Thus says the Lord. While representing God due to their sin, they still at times misrepresented God. But every one of these deficiencies and inadequacies is swept away by Jesus Christ. As God and man, he brings us into intimate communion with God. He is the direct voice of God. Verily, verily, I say to you, no longer thus says the Lord, but verily, verily, I say to you. He represents and images God perfectly. Hebrews 1, verse 3. So every deficiency or inadequacy in the Old Testament prophets contrasts with the fullness and perfection of Jesus Christ, the prophet of God. So, we've covered 8 features of the ministry of the prophets that predicted the prophetic office of Jesus Christ. We've looked at the reason for the prophets, who raised up the prophets, the representation of the prophets, the divine revelations they received, their covenantal role, their reversals and rejections, and seen how the inadequacies of their office were swept away and the prophetic office ultimately and perfectly realized in Christ. Let's move on then to the men. We've looked at the ministry, now the men. Having looked at how the prophetic office or ministry predicted and prefigured Christ, we shouldn't be surprised that the various men who occupy that office also pointed to Christ in various ways and degrees. Let's look first at Moses, the man who was the most obvious and explicit type of Christ, the prophet. Deuteronomy 18, 15-18, Acts 3, 20-22. And we'll note how both the name of Moses and the nature of Moses' character and ministry prefigured Christ. First, the name of Moses. Moses means drawn out and refers to the way in which the infant Moses was drawn out of the Nile and taken into Egypt by Pharaoh's daughter and so preserved alive. Such a name was also most suitable for the man who would eventually cause God's people to be drawn out in a great deliverance from Egyptian bondage. Moses' name was not a coincidence, but a divine providence, and points us forward to the prophetic antitype, the Lord Jesus Christ, who also was drawn out of mortal danger by his parents' escape into Egypt, and who also would draw out his people in a great deliverance from spiritual bondage, Matthew 1:21. Second, let's take a closer look at the nature of Moses' character and ministry, in order to highlight how to preach the great antitype or fulfillment of his character and ministry, Jesus Christ. in the notes, you'll see I've tabulated a number of prophetic parallels between Moses and Jesus Christ. If you look at the nature of Moses' ministry, he was a covenant mediator, so was Christ. A lawgiver, so was Christ. Meek, so was Christ. They both enjoyed face-to-face communication with God. They both had unique access to God. They both had unique signs and wonders. Both were glorified on a mountain. Both interceded for Israel. Both provided bread and water in the wilderness. And both were accounted faithful in their roles. I've put all the scripture verses in the notes to back up these parallels. So Moses is a type and prototype. As the prototype prophet, he's the paradigm, the epitome, and the fountainhead of all other prophetic ministries. And as he is a type of Christ, all other prophets of God were like him, were types of Christ to a greater or lesser extent. Let me say that again. As he is a type of Christ, all other prophets of God like him were types of Christ to a greater or lesser extent. As if to encourage us in this line of thought, Christ highlights perhaps the most disobedient and unlikely prophet, Jonah, and identifies him as a type of himself also, Matthew 12:39-40. The Gospels also reveal many ways in which Elijah and Elisha's ministries parallel Christ's. So when preaching from the prophets, we should consider in what ways both their names and the nature of their ministries prefigured and predicted Christ. The Old Testament attaches considerable significance to names and their connection to the character or function of the person named. We should therefore not be surprised at how God in his providence arranged for his prophets to have names that preached God and explained their ministry. Again, in the notes, you'll see a table. It's a summary that should provide a starting point as you consider how various men who filled the prophetic office pointed towards Christ, both in their names and in the natures of their ministries. Moses, his name means drawn out of danger, as we saw, and the nature of his ministry, he mediated the covenant. Think though of Samuel. Name means God has heard. He was the prophet who judged Israel. Nathan's name meant given or gift. His ministry was about speaking truth to power. Elijah means my God is Jehovah. He was the prophet of exclusive loyalty to God. Elisha, name means my God is salvation. He was the prophet of miracles. Isaiah, his name meant Jehovah is salvation. He was the prophet of the suffering servant. Jeremiah means raised up by God. He was the prophet who wept over sin. Ezekiel means God strengthens. He was the prophet of God's glory. Daniel means judgment of God. He was the prophet who understood mysteries. Hosea means salvation or savior. He was the prophet who married a prostitute. Joel means Jehovah is God. He was the prophet of the Spirit. Amos means burden bearer. He was the prophet of the lion's roar. Obadiah means servant of Jehovah. He was the prophet of vengeance for God's enemies. Jonah means dove. the first prophet to the Gentiles. Micah means who is like God, the prophet who championed the poor. Nahum, compassion, consolation, yet he was the prophet of righteous doom. Habakkuk means embrace. He was the prophet of optimistic faith. Zephaniah means hidden by Jehovah. He was the prophet of God's goodness and severity. Haggai means festival, and he was the prophet of physical and spiritual building. Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. He was the prophet of vivid and graphic word pictures. Malachi means my messenger. He was the prophet of universal worship. When you go through these names and the natures of these prophetic ministries, you cannot but see both in the individual and taking them all as a whole, the amazing prefiguring of Christ, both in their names and in the nature of their prophetic ministries. What each of them was in their names and natures individually, Christ was in total. He gathered up all these names and all these varied ministries in himself to be the ultimate man, the ultimate prophet of God.